this is Randy Romero, and you're listening That Metal Interview Podcast.
Today's premier vocalists as far as rock metal goes, hands down. His name is Ronnie Romero from the country of Chile in South America, but he resides in Europe, of course, as he will talk about, as he is the best to imitate the late Ronnie James Dio and, of course, Michael Schenker's vocalists, as Ronnie pertains also to Michael Schenker Group. And he'll talk about all those experiences. And man, talk about a talent. This guy can just wail. This guy has some serious pipes for sure. Hands down, one of the best. The future of rock and roll for sure, as he's still young. And he still plays and sings with Ritchie Blackmore's Night. And now he has a brand new solo album. Well, he released two cover albums, and now his solo album with original material is out and available since September 15th. The album is called Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters, and he will explain what that means, what that title means, and what he meant by that, as I'll ask him that question. And you guys have to check that CD out. It's just incredible, incredible music. Let's check out Chased by Shadows. Listen to that title. If it's not metal, I don't know what's metal. Chased by Shadows. We'll be right back.
No.
You can now stream that song, Chased by Shadows, wherever you stream your music. You can purchase, download, and stream the album wherever you stream your albums and wherever you purchase your albums. Wherever it might be, check out that album. It's just all badass, top to bottom for sure. Name of the album is Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters. Check it out. Right now, let's go directly into the interview with our good friend Ronnie Romero, the great vocalist of these times for sure. Check it out. So awesome. So before we start, what part of the world are you at?
I live in Romania.
Romania? What part of
Romania.
The... Oh, Romania. Okay, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were in the U.S. Okay. So awesome. Before we start, one more pre-start question.
Yep.
I'm a musician here in Texas, and I just got to tell you, you got a great voice, and I'm sure you've heard it many times.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's just incredible. How did you build this voice? How did you took classes, or did you was it natural?
It's a mix of a lot of things, because I never took lessons, never. But I grew up in a family of musicians, so for me it was like continuum learning every day from my parents and my brother, my older brother. We were playing a lot of instruments with my brothers, so I think it's a kind of a little bit natural talent, but also you learn while you are playing. So it's professional lessons of vocal lessons, anything like that. Never.
Wow. I kind of knew that. Me and a friend of mine were talking about your talent, and I kind of told them what you just said right there. Sounds like a natural, and yeah, so very cool. So, yeah. Album coming out, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters, September 15th. Are you excited for this record?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important for me, you know, because it's the first time that I am writing all the songs and, you know, being part of the production, mixing, mastering. I did almost everything by myself. I really wanted people to hear what I did.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. The stuff that we heard so far is just great, great music. So before this, with other bands, everything was mapped out basically, right? Your vocal parts were, the producer told you what to sing, give or take.
Most of them, yes. It depends, because for example, with my first band, Lorso Black, it's a band from Spain.
Yeah.
When we put the band together, we were writing the songs together at the beginning with the guitar player. And also two or three songs from the first two albums are totally mine. And you know, that was part of to have this band. But then the most of the things were, as you say, they were like totally rooted already. And with Michael Schenker, I wrote a couple of songs also. But anyway, every musician I worked with before, they gave me a lot of freedom on the studio to, you know, to put my own performances on the vocal lines.
Yeah, your own twist, your own signature, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to Michael Schenker last year, and of course he spoke very highly of you, and he mentioned you were in his band and all that. How does it feel being in one of the biggest rock icons in one of his bands? How does that feel, Ronnie?
It's great. It was like a dream come true, you know. I grew up listening Rainbow and Richie Blackmore, and then Michael Schenker also,
yeah,
and Scorpions and all this stuff, and UFO, and I grew up listening to those bands. My father, rest in peace, he was a huge fan of rock music, so yeah, I remember when I put my first band together, I was like 14-15 years old, and we were playing Deep Purple and Rainbow, and we were playing UFO, we were playing other bands also, but then suddenly you are with the guys working and rehearsing and playing the same stages. it's a little bit unbelievable. Even now, after many years since I did the Rainbow gig and all the stuff, it's still amazed me.
Yeah, it's like a dream come true. You're in a dream, a live dream or something like that. Yeah, wow, that'd be weird. I would have melted if I was on stage with Michael Schenker. I would have just melted. I don't know how you get it together on stage. Very cool.
It's great. Yeah. We had a great chemistry, actually. But I was amazed by him every night, because, you know, it's a guy who is celebrating more than 50 years
yeah.
of career. And we did this recently, we did this tour in the US. It was like a 28 shows in a month. Yep. And he was playing perfectly every night. It was like I didn't miss any single note.
Wow.
Never. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that guy's a, I'm not sure if he's human. He might be some type of a...
yeah, could be.
Right? Some type of a hybrid or an alien or something. Just a joke, of course. All due respect to Mr. Schenker. He's incredible, just like you are, you know?
Yeah.
Do you get tired of people telling you how badass you sound on The Voice? I mean, nobody can really imitate Dio the way you do it or do the UFO stuff like you do it. Do you get tired of that?
No, not really. I mean, for me, it's a compliment. It would be different if the people tells me like you sounds like, you know, whatever, like Dora the Explorer, something like that. You
know? Right.
Yeah, that would be not good. But I mean, if somebody comes and they say you sounds like Dio, you sounds like Freddie Mercury, you sounds like this or that, it's, for me, it's a compliment. So obviously, you never get tired of that.
I saw another interview with you. I forget the name of the podcast or the person, but you said that for people that don't know, you released two covers albums, right? Before this, yeah. This original. You said that you had done a bunch of Dio stuff and a bunch of stuff with Deep Purple and Schenker and this and that. So that's why you didn't record so much of that. And you did a bunch of other songs, right? Other cool stuff that, yeah. you're into. Which came out badass, by the way. It's all badass. So,
for me, it was like, if I'm going to make a covers album, why am I going to put the same song I was singing the last 7 years? You know, it makes no sense. I wouldn't bring anything fresh to the table. So for me, it was very important. And also because of the meaning of a covers album, a tribute album, let's say. It's to pay tribute to the music you like. And obviously, my influence and the music I like is more than only Deep Purple and Rainbow. So, I wanted to, and also I wanted to surprise the people a little bit and bring something that the people, they don't expect me to sing. So that will be more entertaining to listen.
Incredible stuff. Both albums are great. The heavy one and the hard rock. I understand you brought back your original guitar player from South America, right?
He's from Spain.
Spain. I'm sorry. My bad.
Yeah.
So how did that go? I mean, I'm coming back to this new album, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters. Let's talk about the writing process real quick. You mentioned they're all your songs. Most of the writing is yours, right? How did that go? Yeah. Was it all together in a room, or this? You presented
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I really wanted to work out like an old-fashioned way, you know, because doesn't happen very often anymore. Like, you know, all the people together in the same room writing, then in the same room recording all together, like jamming or playing the songs, because it brings new ideas when you are, you know, you write music, you write a song, and you go to the studio to make the demo, and then suddenly you are playing the song and something like, okay, maybe we can do this, or we can go that way, or we can change that. And that doesn't happen anymore. That's why I think the music nowadays, especially rock music, is a little bit flat.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not organic. You have the guitar player in Sweden and the singer is in Argentina, you know?
Yeah.
So we never met in person. It just, you know, and I really wanted to go different with this album. Because it's a very special album for me. It's my first proper solo album, and I told the guys, okay, we're gonna work like the old-fashioned way, all together, like the bands on the 70s and the 80s. You know?
Awesome.
And I think that brings a little bit of different kind of sound even on the record.
Sounds great. So, which is your favorite song on this record?
Well, I will say all of them because because I wrote the most of them, but. But I would say probably the second single we released was "Chased by Shadows." I think it turns into a really good song in the way I really wanted to, because I told the guys I really want to have this kind of a Black Sabbath Dio song, and it worked really well. So probably it's one of my favorites. But then also there is a song which is special for me emotionally, because it's a song I wrote for my son, just 10 years old. We don't have the chance to meet very often because he lives in Spain, and I wrote this song to him. It's a kind of a different. It's not like a hard rock. It's more like poppy. But I really wanted to write a song that he will like, because he's more fan of the pop song, pop music.
Very cool. Wow.
Yeah, but yeah, probably that one.
Wow, very cool. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall just to, in that rehearsal, those rehearsals for that album as a musician, right? That's cool how you start organizing a song from step one to the end, right? For example, you present the band members, your lyrics and your melody, and then the guitar player or drummer starts it off and this and that. And that'd be cool. Well, did you guys film that, or is there any footage of that?
We did actually the opposite, because in this case, I really wanted to write the lyrics. It depends what the music makes me feel. I didn't want to pre-write anything and try to fit it in a song structure. I think that doesn't work in that way.
Yeah.
So because I really want to have for the listener and for the fans, that I want to have them the same feeling. There is something you are feeling while you are listening the song. So in that way, what we did was I talked to the guys before to meet. I tell the guys I really want to go in this direction. You know, I want to do this kind of songs. They bring all the material, riffs, structures, only riffs or only a verse in a chorus or something like that. And we started to work in the structures first. You know, how I feel like it's going to be a first verse and then a bridge and then a chorus, then we're going to the solo or whatever. And then afterwards, everything was done with that. I started to write the lyrics. It depends of the song specifically was making me feel.
Oh wow! So do you watch movies or read books before those rehearsals, or?
Well, not especially because of the rehearsals, but I do that very often. I mean, I have probably all the streaming platforms. I haven't got any of them, so it's like. I watch Netflix and HBO and Disney Plus and Sky, and I have a lot of them. So and I always watching, especially the commentaries and then TV shows about lawyers and TV shows about murders and police guys and all that kind of stuff. I mean the inspiration comes from anywhere.
So you are human. You watch regular stuff.
I have a little free time actually to do it, especially when you're traveling.
Yeah,
you know, and you need to download the things to watch offline, and I have a lot on my phone. Yeah, I'm watching the Sylvester Stallone now, the King of Tulsa.
Oh yeah, I saw the
Tulsa King.
I saw a couple of episodes. Real good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, nice. So, Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters. What's behind the title? What does that mean, or why that title?
That quote, it came to my mind. I was thinking about my professional career actually, and it was like a perfect resume of my career, because I felt at that point that it was like there is in the music business you get disappointed very often when you work with people, especially when you work with people. Not only in the music business, but when you work with people, you get disappointed. It's just something like it happens, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I say. There's too many lies around everything. You know, there's a lot of people. They are offering gold and nothing happens, or they want you to do this, they want you to do that, and then you know they leave you on the shore. So
yeah.
That's why I thought on the Too Many Lies. And then it came to my mind the Too Many Masters, because of the same thing, you know. When you are a musician and you have certain exposure to and you are in the spotlight, especially for me since I was doing the Rainbow thing, there was a lot of people around telling me what should I do, you know. So that's the real meaning. Like there's too many masters around telling you, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you shouldn't do this, or this, what you're doing is not good, you should do this other thing. And there's a lot of experts
yeah.
of the funny thing is a lot of experts of your life around you.
Right?
Yeah. That's more or less what it means.
Which is the most difficult song to sing, Ronnie, out of all these different bands that you've been in, Rainbow and Schenker and Lords of Black? Which is the most difficult one that gives you the hard time, you know?
To write or to sing?
Just to sing.
Just to sing. Well, probably some of the UFO songs I used to sing with Michael Schenker, because it's such a distinctive voice. You know, it's the UFO fans, they really love how the song sounds with that voice, you know?
Yeah.
So, and since my vocal approach is a little bit different, because it's more raspy or hard, or it's more heavy metal, let's say, it's really hard to fit on those more melodic songs. So it doesn't look like, and it doesn't sound like it's very high pitch, but it is.
Yeah.
And mostly because you are singing high pitch through the whole song, not just the verse or just, you know, some ad-libs or one part of the chorus, just like through all the song. And it's very technically, it's very complicated.
Do you have any warm-up rituals before going on stage, or do you just go up there like the way you are?
Yeah. Well, my ritual is to have a beer before the show.
Wow, very cool. But how about vocally? Do you is there any like exercises, anything like that?
No, because since, as I told you before, I never took vocal lessons. Oh. I don't even know how to warm up.
Okay.
And also I find that a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
But not only for me that to do, but for the other people who is listening. So I don't want to annoy anybody. And for me, it's just like, you know, the only secret, you know, the secret I would say that it really helps for a singer, besides all the warming up and all this stuff, is just to try to find the spot on your vocals and to sing in the way you're not hurting yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have the range you have, and if you can't go higher, don't go higher, because it's not your natural voice, you know?
Yeah.
So in the way you sing comfortable and you're not hurting yourself, you shouldn't have any problem.
Understood. So real quick, before you became the rock star that you are today, all due respect, what was your first band back in the day when you started, Ronnie?
Yeah, it was a band. My first band actually was in Chile. I was like probably 15 or 16 years old. And we did a band with a bunch of schoolmates. It was called Barracuda.
Okay. Wow.
And as you can imagine, we were playing a lot of like hard rock covers. We played Creedence, Clearwater, Kansas, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, and Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Eagles, and all that kind of stuff.
How was the rock scene in Chile when you started? Was it the way it is all over the world, the same thing?
Well, in South America, it's not like the most popular music style. So it's, you always are the, when you like rock music or when you have a rock band, you are like the freaky guy. but we like that, you know.
Yeah.
We like to be different in that way. So yeah, but you know, it's not like when you were talking, oh yeah, we're gonna play a Pink Floyd song, and it was an awkward silence on the room.
Well, I think it's the same. I'm here in Texas, and when I was in school, I would walk around with a Testament shirt or a Metallica shirt in black, right? And people would, same thing, people would just stare at you like if you were an alien or something. I guess rock metal is not normal. Nowadays it might be bigger, but I see what you mean. Yeah, it's kind of like an alien walking around, or it's not very cool. But yeah. Anyway, so give us an update on Lords of Black.
The album is delivered already to the record label, the new album. So we finished the recordings like a couple of months ago. So. I think if I remember correct, it's going to be released at the beginning of 2024, and then we will try to make some shows the first part of 2024 also. Yeah.
How about Elegant Weapons? Any update on that?
Elegant Weapons, we're starting to work on the new album right now, and that's the only news so far.
Oh, you're super busy. How do you do all this, all these different projects? And do you get tired? Do you get frustrated? Do you ever?
No. I'm the kind of person that I need to be busy doing things.
Okay.
I wake up early in the morning, and then I need to do. I always looking for something to do in my house. That's something like my wife. She doesn't like it too much because I wake up 7 in the morning, and then I go to the garden and I start to do gardening, or you know, play with the dogs. And I'm looking for if I need to replace something on the lights, or you know, on the blackberry or something like that. And I'm always doing things. Yeah. So in that way, for me, it's perfect to be busy with different. Also, different staffs, not the same thing. You know, Elegant Weapons, it's nothing to do with Lords of Black. So it's a kind of a two projects makes me very happy because are different between each other.
Yeah, different. You guys are all stars in Elegant Weapons, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did that come together real quick, Elegant Weapons?
Well, it was, I got a call from Richie, and then he asked me to sing the songs. The album was recorded already. And I went to the studio and I really like it because, you know, it's like a out of my comfort zone. It's not heavy metal. It's more rock, more blues sometimes, a little bit some more American rock elements.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a Stone Temple Pilots, Audioslave kind of stuff. And I liked it. And it's we did the album. And then, you know, the people was very excited. We went on tour for a month last summer. And the people, they really like the band, so we're very happy with what we did so far.
I spoke to Richie a couple of months ago, an interview, and very cool guy, right? So how's it working with him? Is he a cool person, the way he sounded, or?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a very cool guy. Yeah. We have a good chemistry also working together. You know, we have like the same background in terms of, you know, he's playing, he joined a huge, legendary band. And Judas Priest, and we both are like a younger than those bands, and we want to have something after those bands get to an end. We like the same kind of old bands, like, you know, Dio, Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Michael Schenker. He's a big fan of Michael Schenker.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of a guy you could become a friend of school, you know.
Really, just like that? Wow.
Yeah,
the bass player too. He's with Uriah Heep, right?
Yeah. He's also very talented. I mean, he's a great bass player.
Any other projects you wanna mention, Ronnie? Something I might have missed?
No, so far, Elegant Weapons, Lords of Black, and my solo album. That's gonna be the main for me on 2024.
Before we let you go, Ronnie, what's next for yourself? What's next for your projects? What's on your agenda right now?
So far we have just a couple of shows with my solo band, and then from beginning of 2024 we are touring the new album Too Many Lives, Too Many Masters as much as we can. So it's going to be like a very busy first half of 2024.
Awesome. So Too Many Lies, Too Many Masters, for people listening, pick it up. It's coming out September 15th. Very cool. Cool music, very cool rock metal for us fans, right? So thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for your time. And hopefully keep making great music, man. You're just badass. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
A very humble and down-to-earth talent in the music business. A very down-to-earth human as he watches movies. And he is just a regular folk, man. This guy is the real deal. When you get called by Richie Blackmore and his management to front his band, when you get called by Michael Schenker to front his band, come on. When the guitarist for Judas Priest, Richie Faulkner, calls you, let's make a band, come on. That means and speaks volumes of this guy's talent. His name is Ronnie Romero from the country of Chile and resides in Europe. And we thank Ronnie once more for his time. Thank you for bringing great, great music and great vocals. And you are the next person, the next rock star to carry the rock metal flag, if you will. So thank you, Ronnie, and all the best to you and the boys and the bands, all your projects, Lords of Black. And thank you for the update on all that stuff. So thank you. And anyways, as far as the podcast, don't forget to download, stream, like us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, That Metal Interview, not the That Metal Interview. And of course, our YouTube channel, subscribe, ring the bell. And your friend James thanks you for your complete support. Thank you. And don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.